It's time for JT the Brick.
This is a new regime led by Antonio Pierce, a former player who's won a Super Bowl.
Our vision is clear. Win a division.
He's the right guy at the right time for this job. Right guy, right time to get the Raiders back, not to greatness, to the playoffs.
Our intention of how we play, the execution of our play, the mindset of our team, that's what I'm looking for.
I would love to see Antonio Pierce have the opportunity to coach this Raider team. I think he deserves it.
JT the Brick.
This coach wants to be more physical. He wants to put his hands on players.
You got the Jordan rules, and I'm calling it now from now on, as long as I'm here, the Patrick Mahomes rules.
I like when the head coach says this. I'm a season ticket holder.
Squeezing by the throat.
Antonio Pierce wants to get the black hole back to where it was in the Coliseum in Oakland. Let's help him.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT with you as we wrap up the week on a very cold and rainy and low fog Vegas day today, brought to you by our good friends at Golden Entertainment. They own the Strat, and next Wednesday I'll be at the Strat to kick off March Madness. The March Madness kickoff in Vegas is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, round one. It's a big deal out here. Our proud partner is the Strat. I'll be in the sports book. Come on out and see us next Friday for March Madness. We're at La Casa Cigars, so we got two big remotes next week as I'm out on the road in beautiful Las Vegas. If you're in town, March Madness books as much business, if not more, than the Super Bowl, and we just had the Super Bowl here. I've been living in Vegas since 1996, and some of the best memories I've ever had for sports is in Vegas, not at the Final Four, which I've been to a number of them, but to be in Vegas for March Madness, and it's the return of the Fraternal Order of the Men in Khaki Pants. As you know, I bring that up, and you enjoy that every year as men get permission from their wives. You see, I don't have to get permission from my wife. We've been together for 25 years. She's on a trip. I go on a trip. But a lot of men in their 20s have to ask their wife permission to go to Vegas. They have to trade stuff like, I'll do housework. I'll do my honey-do list. I'll be better. I'll do this. And this is dead serious. I'm not making this up. Men have to ask their wives around the country, can I go to Vegas? And the wife kind of says, no, not really. And then they have to frame the road trip by being a member of the Fraternal Order of Khaki Pants. They have to tell their wives that they're going to Vegas for March Madness. So follow me here. That is not a lie. They're coming to March Madness. But most of the men come to Las Vegas to go to strip bars and steakhouses and casino sports books. I repeat, in no specific order. It could be the casino sports book, then the strip bar, then the steakhouse. And all these guys pack two pairs of khaki pants, a pair of sneakers, a pair of shoes, polo shirts. The Fraternal Order of Men in Khaki Pants, they wear polo shirts. They wear vests like I do. I like to wear a vest. You know, I wear a vest. I'm in my 50s. I'll throw on a vest. And these guys come out here, and here's what happens for March Madness. It's going to happen here next week. The guys come out here. They check in on their wives. They check into their room. They go right down to the sports book, and they start betting on every game, which is the dumbest thing you can do. But again, people don't gamble to win money. People gamble for entertainment, so they all lose. I mean, even the professional sports bettors don't even get to 50%. Imagine how stupid that is if you want to make money. So the Fraternal Order of the Men in Khaki Pants don't want to make money gambling. They just want to be seen gambling. So they bet $20 a game. And they have no idea who St. Mary's is. They don't know UT Chattanooga. They don't know any of these teams. But they bet because they want to be cool with their friends. They get buckets of beer, Modelos. They get buckets of Modelos, and they watch the game. And then they get pretty hammered. So about 3 or 4 o'clock, the Fraternal Order of Men in Khaki Pants get blasted. And most of these guys can't handle it because they don't party a lot because their wives don't let them. So they go back to the room to take a nap. And they get to the room and they take a nap. And some of them don't wake up from their nap until like 9 at night. And all their friends are at the steakhouse. So we plug all our steakhouses. Barry's Steakhouse at Circa, J-O-D, One Steak. Emmett Smith's new steakhouse, which I go to. So they all go to the steakhouse. They get their steaks. And then afterwards, someone has the guts to say, let's go to a strip bar. And that's where the Fraternal Order of Men in Khaki Pants get worried because some of their wives track them on the phone. They don't go to strip bars in Des Moines, Iowa, in Providence, Rhode Island, some of them. And they go to strip bars, and then they lose all their money. That's when they start to really lose their money. Then they wake up the next day, rinse, repeat. It's the same thing, buckets of beer, steakhouse reservation, strip bar. Then they have to check in with their wives, and the wife's like, what'd you do last night? Oh, honey, I didn't do anything really. I went to the steakhouse and we watched the games. No mention of the strip bar. And then they go home back to their towns. They can barely leave Vegas. They're so hungover. They got no money left. And then they get back home and they had the time of their lives because they were with their buddies. They were with their friends. And they had the time of their life in Las Vegas. So that's here next week. They're coming. There's no women. All the women except the women who work here. Most of the women leave town because we go from, you know, probably a 2-to-1 ratio at times of women or women to men. Then we go to 10 men to 20 men for every woman here in town. So round of applause. The Fraternal Order of Men of Khaki Pants are coming in next week. I gave you the whole rule on what they do and how they pump money into our economy. They pump money into our economy. Welcome into the show. We got a lot to get to. Last night, I spent the evening with Max Crosby. It was one of the more unique nights I've ever spent in Vegas. It was the first ever Max Crosby Foundation event, and the honoree was Dana White. I'll talk about this throughout the show. Dana White was so generous, he literally bought everything. He literally bought everything inside his own building, UFC Apex. He was buying paintings, he was buying trips. He auctioned off a UFC trip, UFC 303, and he auctioned it off, and he let the winners come on stage with him at this upcoming UFC event to be at the weigh-in. I just want to say, Max and Rachel Crosby, thank you for letting me MC the event last night. And Dana White, Mark Davis, the Aces were there, the Raiders were there, Antonio Pierce was there. We had a magical night raising money for a bunch of different causes. Max wrote a couple of big checks on stage, and it was beautiful. I brought my son with me. We got some social media up there on Twitter and on Instagram, and I feel really full today. My heart is full today because Max Crosby's a special guy. And I spent a lot of time with Max last night, and he was singularly focused on pulling off this event on time. It started a minute on time, right when it should, and it ended 5 minutes early because Max wanted to make sure that the teammates, his players, his brothers, everybody else got there on time. So we powered through this presentation, and I don't know how much money they raised, but it was a big number. From the Las Vegas Aces and Mark Davis to Dana White and UFC and all the other people in the room, what a generous group of people last night. So I'm really happy that we had a good night last night, and I spoke to Antonio Pierce and Champ Kelly, who were there. I met Marvin Lewis for the first time formally. It was great to talk to Marvin Lewis. What a gentleman. Rob Ryan, the couple of coaches. There were about 10 coaches. Patrick Graham bid on a beautiful item and put money back into the Max Crosby Foundation. It was great to see him. And then I got an opportunity to meet and talk with the Las Vegas Aces as 5 or 6 of the players were there coming off their back-to-back world championships. So I'm just happy. I really want to promote Max. We're going to replay the Max interview from a couple of days ago in the final hour of the show. But it was a lot of fun. So if you want to talk about Max, and please, if you want to talk about Max today, well, let's talk about Max Crosby and what he does off the field. Because as I opened up the event last night, I said, you know, I go back to Max when he played and was drafted in Oakland. And we know how great Max is doing on the field to play, but I think he's doing equally, if not more, off the field than he's doing as a player, which is pretty tremendous. So congratulations to Max and Rachel Crosby tonight. Whenever you're a young couple, brand new parents, young couple, and think of the dream of Max coming from Eastern Michigan to come here and then put on an event last night at UFC and honor Dana White, who's a billionaire, and put on that event, man, Max should be really proud today. So we open up the show today. Chris Matthews will join us at the bottom of the hour. I got a bunch of topics I want to get to. Phones have been kind of quiet this week. A lot of people are just waiting on breaking news. Hey, let's get off that. We have the breaking news with the Raiders. We got Gardner Minshew. We got Christian Wilkins, right? We made a couple of moves here for the Raiders here, and I want to get your opinion on what the Raiders have been able to do here over the beginning of free agency, which comes and goes here really quickly. And are you satisfied with what the Silver and Black have done? I am. I'm pretty happy. I wanted Devin White. who, you know, I wanted some other players in here that I liked and I targeted and said, I'll even go out and say Russell Wilson. I thought Russell Wilson was available. The Raiders didn't go in that direction. They got Gardner Minshew. It's all open to be debated today on what you believe the Raiders have done. The really big thing that they did, as we all know, is they got a defensive tackle. They got a defensive tackle in Christian Wilkins, who's a star. He's a Pro Bowler. He should be a perennial Pro Bowler now as he comes to Las Vegas to play alongside Max Crosby. So we know if both of these gentlemen stay healthy, Mad Max and Christian Wilkins, they should be automatically penciled in for the pros, for the Pro Bowl. And if they're not in the Pro Bowl, then we're talking about maybe even more than the Pro Bowl, all pro. There is no reason why these two guys shouldn't dominate the defensive line. I talked to a former Raider this morning, who I'll keep his name off the air. Former Raider, not a Hall of Famer, but a pretty big Raider, who called me. He was asking me my opinion on the moves, and he's been off the grid for a couple of days. He didn't know all about it. And I talked to a former Raider for about a half hour this morning in preparation for the broadcast, who told me, you know, we better hold teams to under 20 points if we want to make the playoffs. I said, what do you mean? He said, I'm not confident with these quarterbacks here. I like them, but I'm not confident with these quarterbacks. We got to hold teams to under 20 points a game if we're going to win games, JT. He asked me, can we do that? I said, 20 points a game is hard to do. I mean, it's hard to hold an NFL team, you know, to under two touchdowns and a couple of field goals here, but I think this Raider team can do it. The question is, can the Raiders' defense hold the Raiders up and give the ball to Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell where they can score a couple of touchdowns a game? I don't know. And I get many things wrong, and you let me know about it. I don't get many things wrong when it comes to research and facts and stats. I think I'm pretty good at that. But, you know, I get paid to have opinions, and all those opinions are never going to be 100%. Last year, I was amazed that the Raider offense was god-awful. Last year, under Josh McDaniels, I couldn't believe that this offense couldn't get out of the way of themselves and make the team competitive. Because if they were good, then the team could have hung around in games because the defense led by Patrick Graham and Antonio Pierce as a linebacker coach early in the year did their job to keep the Raiders in the game. But due to the injury of Jimmy Garoppolo, who was released and designated for a June release in regards to the cap hit, the offense couldn't get anything going with Josh Jacobs, who held out and missed the last four games. Devontae had a couple of games where he didn't show up on the stat sheet. He showed up to play. They just couldn't get him the football. They couldn't get him the ball. They couldn't get Michael Mayer going from time to time. And, you know, Jacoby, who just restructured his contract, Jacoby Myers had a pretty good year. So when you look at the way the Raider offense failed last year, they failed. The defense carried the day. And I think the defense is only going to get better. Uh-oh, but, we got a couple holes now. We need another corner. You know, Amik left, which is okay. He's a small, undersized, tough guy. He goes to Detroit, so he's going to play real well there. Detroit's got a good team, and Detroit's got a good defense. He's going to fit in well there. So we need a corner. I think we need another linebacker on defense, but other than that, I'm pretty good. We're good at the starting safeties. We got Jack Jones and Nate Hobbs at cornerback. We need another cornerback because I got to see if this Jacorian Bennett guy can play. Because no disrespect to the former regimes of Reggie McKenzie, friend of the show, Dave Ziegler, who was really building up to be a friend of the show, liked Dave a lot, and Mike Mayock, who was nothing but a gentleman. All of those gentlemen combined really couldn't figure out the cornerback position. And they couldn't figure out the defensive tackle position until Tom Telesco came in, and Tom we trust, and got us Christian Wilkins, who's a starting stud at defensive tackle. So Butler, whoever you have in the rotation, Jenkins in the past, I don't care who's in the rotation anymore. You won't hear a peep out of me at defensive tackle. We got the guy. We got the guy that I called on. You hear it in the promos. I called it a week before it happened. I said on the flagship, go get him, and we got him. But I also been saying, get me the right tackle. Where's the right tackle? What's going on here? A bunch of right tackles available. Don't we got one? Oh, we're going to have to wait in the draft to go get one? Okay, in Tom we trust. I saw Andre James last night. Real quick story. I'm going to do a lot of name dropping today, please, because I have the, you know, my show. I'm going to name drop a bit. Andre James went up to my son last night, who played offensive line at Bishop Gorman, and they talked for about 10 minutes in the lobby. And I pulled Andre aside and I said, "Congratulations on your contract, man." I go, and I said, "Listen, whenever you're a football player and you get another contract the size you did, congratulations." And he really appreciated that. So Andre James, Dylan Parham, Colton Miller, we're good. What do we do at right guard and right tackle? It's going to have to be addressed. I'm not into this next man up stuff. I'm not into what Raider Mort says. Oh, we got a bunch of guys. We can't have a bunch of guys. We need Pro Bowlers. We need guys in the draft in the first or second round who can start on the offensive line because we have a hole there. I think we need another running back. I'm good with Zeus. We brought in a tight end, which I think is a good move. Bringing in a tight end. Now I think we're full at tight end. We're definitely going to add someone at tight end along the way. You know, again, it could be a late round draft pick or whatever it's going to be, but I'm good with that. So other than that, the Raiders don't have massive holes all over this team. They don't have massive holes. But the Raiders have got to, oh, I'm going to say the word, I hate it, clean it up. Tom Telesco's got to clean this roster up at the draft. So we can go in two directions today. I'd like to get your grade overall. And I'm not a teacher. I'm not a substitute teacher. But I'd like to get your grade on what the Raiders did in free agency. And I'll go first because I always go first, not to stir the pot, but to try to get you going here, to get you to match my energy and get it going here this week because we are in the offseason. Gardner Minshew, two-year deal, $25 million, $15 million fully guaranteed. Amir Abdullah comes in here, re-signed with the Raiders. This is free agency. Andre James, $24 million, $16 million guaranteed. Christian Wilkins comes in, and Christian Wilkins, I think, is going to be a rock star. He's going to be a stud on this team. And I think we got the guy that's going to put the Raiders even better and higher up when it comes to rankings overall with this defense. So I'm going to give the Raiders a B. I'm not going to give them a B plus. I'm not going to give them an A minus because they didn't do a lot of volume so far, but there's more work potentially to be done. So I'll start this off giving the Raiders a B on off-season free agency, which isn't a B-minus, it's not a C-plus, it's not a D. Okay, it's not vanilla because I put my homework in here on all these other teams. Now, there is some good news here as we get rolling at 702-365-9200. There is some good news. First off, Mike Williams went to the Bears. Get him out of the AFC West. Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa took pay cuts, by the way. Pay cuts to stay with the Chargers. I don't like that. I thought they were going to lose one of their two edge rushers. They got them both back. They lost Austin Ekeler. And they're going to have to do something in the draft. I believe we are ahead of the Chargers. That is not fiction. That is fact. We have a better roster than the Los Angeles Chargers. We have not in years past. We're better than the Chargers on paper. And they got Justin Herbert and we don't. Jim Harbaugh's coming in there now. He's got to really retool that team in our division. Denver's a train wreck. They are a dumpster fire. They are a gif in your phone when you see the dumpster going down the road on fire. Denver's a mess. Hallelujah. But we beat Denver 8 in a row. It's hard to do that. The pendulum swings back when it comes to luck, the way the ball bounces. We got to sweep the Denver Broncos. We got to sweep them. And I think we will. And then it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs. And I truly believe that the Kansas City Chiefs have gotten better because they kept Chris Jones and they were able to franchise tag Legarius Sneed. And if I look at some of the moves that they've made in the offseason, God, Kansas City didn't get worse. And how is that possible? They've won back-to-back Super Bowls. They're supposed to get worse, and they're not getting worse. They're staying the same, if not getting better. So that's concerning to me because, as everybody says, we're only going to go as far as Kansas City in our division. We got to beat Kansas City. So talking to Antonio Pierce last night before the event started and how active he's been and what he's doing in the pro days he's going to go, Antonio Pierce walked into that room like he was above the clouds. I mean, he was dressed up, brand new suit, walking in, the head coach of the Raiders When I introduced him, I said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm proud to announce he's here, the head coach of the Raiders, Antonio Pierce. The room went crazy. He's the right man for the job right now. He's the guy that can take every player on this team and hopefully get a little bit more out of them. But it's all about Tom Telesco for me in the next 6 weeks. Tom did a pretty good job, I think, with the resources he's had, trying to figure out the cap, working with a new department with the Raiders here, trying to figure out what he needs to do. And I think he's done a pretty good job. Did he overspend? No. I think most of the NFL insiders believe that Christian Wilkins is a fair price. He cost a lot of money, but he's a fair price, and the Raiders went big game hunting in the offseason and got a stud defensive tackle. I interviewed Gardner Minshew yesterday. If you didn't hear it, it was classic. Bobby said it was one of the best, funnest interviews we've done in 5 years. It was really fun. Gardner Minshew is a trip. I talked to Mark Davis about that. Mark listens to the show. Mark was laughing. He's asking me, how's your podcast doing when you do the show from the studio and you don't have the sound or this and that? I just started laughing. I go, Mark, I'm trying to figure it out. And he started cracking up about that. Had a great conversation with Mark, and I told him we had Gardner Minshew on. He said, how did it go? I said, really good. He's a Raider. He mentioned Ray Guy, Fred Biletnikoff, and Kenny Stabler. I think that's the first guy I've interviewed in 25 years who mentioned those three guys by name in his first ever interview with me. So I'm pretty fired up about him. But I don't think Gardner Minshew is going to take the Raiders to the Super Bowl, nor do you. And you don't think Aiden O'Connell is going to take us to the Super Bowl. Now, there's one more caveat here, one more that I got to get in. Justin Fields is still available. I don't quote a lot of other people, but Mia Kimes on ESPN, I think she does a good job. She's on ESPN, and she puts a lot of time into her NFL coverage. She said the Raiders got to get Justin Fields. So I rewound it, and I went back, and she made an interesting point. She said basically that the only place that Justin Fields could start at quarterback is the Las Vegas Raiders because everything else is a backup, and he's not a backup. Justin Fields is not a backup. Kenny Pickett was just traded to the Eagles right before the show. So the Steelers sent Kenny Pickett to the Eagles. So for those knuckleheads that thought that Russell Wilson wasn't a good pick at $1.2 million, and Russell Wilson's going to have to compete to start, do you understand football? They gave the keys to the franchise, a franchise that has won not three, not four, not five, but six Super Bowls. They gave the keys to the franchise to Russell Wilson and said, Kenny Pickett, bye-bye. Bye-bye. You go to the Eagles, and we'll never see you again. Good quarterback available in the AFC. Raiders didn't want him. No Raider fans thought he was good enough to be a Raider. And the Steeler fan said, yes, he's good enough to be a Steeler. So we got Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. I'm good with it for now, but no doubt about it, we need more. And how are we going to need more? We're going to need more in the draft. I've been a Jaden Daniels guy the entire offseason. I think that's the target, just my opinion. And I don't know if the Raiders are going to be able to get that high up in the draft. If they're willing to give up two first-round picks, I think it could happen. But they're going to need New England to make the move because they're not going to be able to trade with Washington and or Chicago. The first dance partner for them would have to be New England at number three, or they'd have to go to Atlanta or the Giants at number six to get up there and hope that Jaden Daniels is available. If he's not available, I'm really good with J.J. McCarthy. The more I've dove into watching him play, I'm fine with J.J. McCarthy. Okay, he was clearly better than Derek Carr, who was this franchise's quarterback for 9 years. Derek Carr was the first pick in the second round. I think J.J. McCarthy could go as early as 8, 9, 10. And if he ends up with the Raiders, I'm fine with him. He's really good. He worked for Jim Harbaugh for 3 years. He won a national championship in Michigan. He's fine. He's a franchise quarterback. Someone's going to get him. So that's the monologue as we open up the show. And Chris Matthews from 8 News Now will join us at the bottom of the hour. And the breaking news is Aaron Donald announces retirement. So for the first tease of the show, I will tell you that I have Aaron Donald on the Mount Rushmore of defensive linemen. Not defensive tackles, defensive linemen. So here's a really good topic for football fans. I have on my Mount Rushmore of defensive tackles Deacon Jones, Reggie White, and Aaron Donald. I need one more. Who would you put on your Mount Rushmore of the four greatest defensive linemen to ever play? I'm not saying defensive end or defensive tackle. I'm combining the category. I think I have my fourth. But I need some help from you. Do you have a former Raider? Do you have a player who played in the 1950s? Do you have a modern-day guy? I got a modern-day guy in Aaron Donald. He just announced his retirement today after only 10 years in the league. It's very Jim Brown. Jim Brown retired after 9 years. So I need some help on that topic as I fill out my Mount Rushmore on the defensive line. Once again, Aaron Donald, Deacon Jones, the king of the sack, the man who invented the sack, and no one better debate me on Reggie White. I was with Rob Ryan last night. We talked about Reggie White. So those are the three. Who do you put in at number four? I want to hear your Mount Rushmore on the defensive line. 702-365-9200. The Dean of the Newsmen. My friend Chris Matthews, 8 News Now, joins us next.
Parrish.
Doesn't matter.
Misses them both. Ball to DJ with 12 seconds to go. Rebels can tie or win it. DJ front court. DJ working on Butler. DJ comes right side. Now on Powell. DJ spins in the lane. DJ puts up with the left hand. And in! With half a second to go, we're tied at 65. The freshman is unbelievable.
Freshman of the year for a reason.
John Sandler on the call as UNLV made the big bucket. The freshman came through and hit one of the biggest buckets you could see heading into the tournament. UNLV would have been alive if they won in overtime, but here's the final call as they come up short.
To three, down 74-71. This Rebel team has battled its hearts out. Absolutely. Cannot say enough about the fight in this team. Keelan Boone to inbound. Rob Whaley in the backcourt with Ladee. Hicks, DJ, and the ball comes in to Thomas. Thomas catches. Thomas from about 28 feet off the front iron, and the Rebels come up just that short.
God, he got a good look. Again, UNLV Rebel basketball on the call. Man, he got a good look. JT reminding you, catch all of the March Hoop action at the Strat March 20th, the remote from noon to 2, and then go to the Strat Theater March 21st, 22nd, and 23rd for all the March Hoops live at the Strat. So I wish UNLV would have won, and I was there in the building at the halfway point of that game. I had a split for the event with Max Crosby last night, but that would have been beautiful if they were able to get ahead and win that game. And they come up short again, and when it gets to an NIT berth or something like that, look, I want the kids to continue to play. I like Kevin Kruger. No doubt about it, Kevin Kruger secured his job going forward. And at times people were saying, did he have to win the tournament? Did he have to get the tournament to keep his job? Kevin did a good job. Chris Matthews joins us, the Dean of the Newsmen from 8 News Now. And Chris, you were here during the heyday, and you remember the Rebels when they were the best team in the world, best team in college basketball. Now they can't get out of the first round or their first game of the tournament. It's rather disappointing.
Yeah, it is. When you're faced, first of all, JT, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate that. You know, I was thinking too when the brackets came out, UNLV and San Diego State were going to meet again. You thought, oh, not again, because this team. Going into the game last night, they had lost 8 in a row in the Mountain West tournament to the Aztecs. For some reason, they just have their number in this tournament here. But I really thought last night, man, they had a chance. And Dedon Thomas, DJ, he's going to be, I mean, he's already phenomenal. The kid's 18 years old, and you have the clips right there. That shot to send the game into overtime, this guy is an extraordinary basketball player for just an 18-year-old. He should still be at Liberty High School here in Vegas and playing. He probably would have played for the state title and won, but he's really, really good. One of the better players in the West and one of the better players around the country, co-freshman of the year in a real, real strong Mountain West Conference this year where they're probably going to get 5 teams into the NCAA tournament. And like you mentioned, an NIT bid for the Rebels probably coming up this weekend as well, which they deserve. They've been playing well. They're as good as any team in the Mountain West. It's just that they had a couple of tough losses, at home. And then early in the season, they had a couple of real questionable ones, even that Air Force loss by, 30 points here in Las Vegas. But I like what Kevin Kruger's doing. He's got a solid bunch of guys. He's going to lose some big guys. Both the Moon brothers are gone. Caleb couldn't play in the game last night, JT. That made a big, big difference because when you have Ladie in there just banging, getting the rebounds, it was tough without Caleb Boone. But, what a game, though. The fans were – and I actually, like you said, I actually thought he might have hit that three-point shot to send it into a double overtime. He had a good look.
Chris Matthews joins us. Chris, again, I try to be glasses half full with UNLV because I love Lon Kruger. And obviously Kevin and Mrs. Kruger, and I go back with him a long time with Coaches versus Cancer. But you talked about five teams going from the Mountain West. UNLV's got to be one of them in the future. I mean, you can't – your program cannot trail Utah State. And no disrespect to the big Utah, which obviously the Utes, who very familiar, but I've been to Logan. My kid trained up there. It's a nice place, but it's not Las Vegas. When I pull into Logan, Utah, I don't see the Wynn and the Encore and the Stratton Circa and Mandalay Bay and T-Mobile and Allegiant Stadium. What's going on here? I mean, there's certain schools that UNLV just has to be better than.
Yeah, and really for the conference, UNLV and let's say San Diego State, UNLV and New Mexico, those three teams have to be good year in, year out for this conference to really make its move and its national prominence and to be talked about. The conference is better when UNLV is better. It's just that simple. UNLV has the history, the tradition, and as you mentioned, they got the city, the facilities. UNLV should be year in, year out an NCAA team. Unfortunately, not this year, but we'll see what. And it's going to be a big, big deal now. We had Kevin Kruger on our Sports Wrap show last week, and as we were walking out, he said, "Well, it's going to be an interesting tournament, and then we'll get to the portal." And that's just how it is anymore. You got this transfer portal, and he'll be bringing a bunch of new faces in here. But if you can get them to work and get them to work together, they'll do well, like Utah State. Utah State has a complete revamped roster, and they're the number one seed in the Mountain West, and they're playing in the semis tonight.
Chris Matthews, our great friend from 8 News Now. So Christian Wilkins was introduced along with Gardner Minshew. I want to get a comment on both players. Obviously, Wilkins is a stud. He should be a perennial Pro Bowler right next to Max Crosby. Let's start with him and the fact that Tom Telesco delivered. He went into free agency and got a great player, someone who's only going to make the Raiders better.
Oh, and you know what? This is the first. I was at the press conference yesterday, and I think Raider Nation, I said it last night in the air in a story I had, I think Raider Nation is really, really going to gravitate to this guy like they do to Max Crosby because he has that fun personality, enjoys working hard, enjoys playing, enjoys having fun, which is a big, big deal. And if you go onto YouTube and watch some of his mic'd up moments, he is going to be a blast to cover. I'm excited about that. And just meeting him for the first time, I asked him, I said, "Hey, that I think we're all envious because he had this silver and he had this black and kind of white jacket on last night. That looks like it." I said, "We're kind of all envious of your jacket you have on up there. It looks like you did it for the Raiders." And he just up and he had inside, there were a bunch of deck of cards on the inside of his suit. And says, "This is apropos for being here as a Raider now." And I just think he has a fun personality. I am really, really excited about this guy. And last night we were over there at the foundation, Max Crosby's foundation. We talked to him a little bit about having Christian Wilkins in the building now. And Max could not be more excited. He said he's followed this guy for his career. And they're about the same age and so forth in the league the same. And it's just going to be, I think that's going to be fantastic to see this Raiders defense next September.
Chris, we move on to Gardner Minshew, and I look at it like the stock market. It was a day where the stock market was going down with backup quarterbacks, and everybody's going, "Oh, my God, I better grab Jacoby Brissett or Drew Locke," or Kenny Pickett was traded today. As you know, that's breaking news. He goes to Philadelphia. I thought Tom did a pretty good job grabbing Gardner Minshew. He wasn't my first choice. No one saw that on any radar because Russell Wilson was available, Kirk Cousins for a very costly price. But I like Gardner Minshew. We had him on yesterday. He's a bit out there, which is fun. But I think he's a good, solid number one if you need him, an outstanding number two. And I think we both agree the Raiders are probably going to get a quarterback in the draft no matter what happens.
Yeah, and you needed to have a guy at least. I mean, you couldn't have gone into the draft with picking a quarterback and then having Aiden O'Connell. Nothing against him, but he's only had a year in the league. You needed some guy in there with at least some experience and could kind of mentor these guys and show these guys the way and help them along and answer their questions. And yesterday in that press conference, Gardner Minshew kind of reminds me almost like a hippie type guy in a good way, where he's kind of fun, a throwback to the NFL in the 1970s, where you just go out there and ball out and have a blast. And just, he just seems like that kind of, I mean, I guess he has a band. I got to follow his career a little more closely, because I'm thinking, man, this guy is an absolute throwback to the glory years when you had these guys just out bumming around, having a great time, working hard when they're supposed to, playing hard when they're supposed to, but absolutely having a blast. And he just doesn't, he almost kind of seem like a fun, like he would have been in that, the great Lebowski. I think he'd have been fantastic in that movie, because that's what he kind of seems like.
The Big Lebowski. Look at that from the Dean of the Newsmen, the great Chris Matthews. Chris, what's going on with the Golden Knights? I turn them on. They're down 4-2. They come back and win. They're up in a game. They lose. Look, everybody knows that when this team is healthy and the additions that Kelly McCrimmon made, this team could defend. But Mark Stone, how long he's going to be out. Everybody's gunning for our VGK. And I think they're going to be okay. But on certain nights, they get flat out outplayed, something we didn't see last year.
Yeah, no, that's disappointing. Of course, Stone was out last year, and they rolled into the playoffs and got him back in time. But you're right. Like last night's game in Calgary. And okay, now picture this. They're the second wild card team, and there's only like 6 points separating them from getting bounced. They got a 4-game homestand coming up, but if they don't play well, say if they lose 3 of these 4 at home, maybe even split, they're going to be, now it's kind of like crunch time. There's 17 games left, and you're just on the cusp. There's really not a lot of wiggle room here for the Golden Knights, and they got all these defensive guys. They're pretty healthy right now. And for some reason, I just didn't feel and sense that urgency. Like, hey, we got to start playing better. Our backs are against the wall here, and they're tied with the Kings. I mean, it's going to be really, really interesting to see what this 4-game homestand does for the Golden Knights, because they got to wake up. We haven't seen this where they've kind of almost collapsed at the end of a season, except for maybe that 1 year, 3 years ago. But this is kind of a, I'm going to say it's alarming, but it's a bit kind of disturbing. And they do have to, you know, play up to their level of, play beyond their level of competition, because last night it almost seemed like they played down to the level of competition.
Hey, Chris, last one in under a minute here. I'm not making this up. As I'm talking to you, I get a text on my phone from F1. It says, last day to place a deposit for March 18th. They want my money. They want my money now for F1. They tore this city up. And I love all of our partners, and we probably have a few with F1. Come on. I mean, they're lowering a couple of tickets, but you need thousands of dollars to go to this thing. You have trouble getting to work every day. I know where your office is, and they tore this city up for 6 months, and now they want a deposit from me. What's going on here?
Well, that I'll tell you what, F1's got to, they got to get out in front of this thing, because the taste in everybody's mouth in Las Vegas is, you know what, it's a phenomenal event, it's an international event, it's one of the biggest events in the world. But if you don't kind of clean up and make things accessible and make your drivers, and you got to change your whole PR when you come to Las Vegas, because as we know, JT, we've lived here for a while, Vegas is all about PR, and their PR right now is terrible. People are so upset with F1. So they got to change some things. They've reached out to us. I'm sure they have the other stations and radio stations, and they're trying to set up now interviews or meetings, I should say, with all of us to say, hey, what can we do to make things better? Well, we got a big laundry list of things, because it's kind of been one of those, hey, you know what, clean this thing up, because people, like you said, JT, if they're going to spend big, big money, they want to come here and enjoy it. And it's all that's another example right there. They just got it. They got to change the way they operate here in Vegas.
Take care, Chris. It's a big weekend out here with all the college basketball. I'm sure I'll see you out, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
All right. Thanks, JT. Appreciate it.
You got it. The Dean of the Newsmen, because we got a lot of newsmen on the show here, and we appreciate Chris Matthews coming on. Yeah, imagine asking me for a deposit for Oakland A's tickets, Vegas A's, A's tickets for 2028, and F1 deposit tickets. You know, that's another big topic here. that I like to do when we're not talking Raiders, which we will not talk Raiders every day if we don't have Raider topics. And today we have a lot of Raider topics, but this town only has so much money. I was in a room last night with Dana White, and Dana White was buying up everything. And I knew Dana White when, I don't know, I don't want to say how much he was worth, but he wasn't worth a lot when I first met Dana White. Now, reportedly, he's a billionaire because of the moves he made. The moves he made on the sale of UFC from the Fertittas staying in the deal when they stayed in the deal, and he's part of this new deal. He's one of the most incredible businessmen I've ever been around. But a lot of people in this town, all over town, and not everybody lives in Southern Highlands or in the Ridges up in Summerlin. You're asking people to pay for Raider tickets, Golden Knight tickets, UNLV tickets, Aviator tickets. You go down the list, Aces tickets. Baseball hasn't even got here yet. You're asking for concerts. Most of my budget for me, for entertainment, goes to concerts. You know, I'm a Raider season ticket holder. I pay. And, you know, I get in there for free with my credential, but I pay for my family. But I pay $900 to go to a Stones concert. That's part of my budget. A lot of people in town, including me, I don't want to have Raider tickets, which I have, on top of Golden Knight tickets, on top of, you know, all these other brands that are in town here. And then when F1's asking you for money, and the next thing you know, there's rugby in town, which was great, not good. And then you got all these events that are in town, sports related. Not everybody lives in Southern Highlands and at the Summit. You're asking people who live in this community that got to pay for school and have jobs and have two jobs to pay for all this. And F1 is coming in today saying, hey, man, can we get your deposit for F1 tickets? Okay. I think I'm going to pass on that for a while. I'm actually doing laundry today. I'm home. In between segments, I'm doing laundry because my wife's traveling back. And the house is a mess. It's been my son and I here all week. So I got to get the house in order before my wife gets back tonight. I'm talking Raider football. What do you think of Gardner Minshew? What grade do you give Tom Telesco early into free agency? And when we come back, I have the list of the best available players that are left, and it's kind of lean. It's a lean list. So most of the shopping's been done by now. We're going to have to wait for the draft. So I kind of want to put a bow on free agency today with the Raiders. I'm good with Christian Wilkins and Andre James. I'm good with that. Would I like another player, an offensive lineman? By the end of the day, yes. Could that happen? We'll get into that on the other side. Brought to you by Modelo, the number one beer in America.
Yeah, no, I got some dudes here, man. Got receivers, already meeting some guys in there. Offensive line looks good. Like, excited just to get to work. I think we all just got to get on the same page. That's kind of the name of the game. I got a new offense to learn, but excited to get in there and put these guys in the best position to succeed.
Gardner Minshew. I'd like to go crazy. Minshew mania. The only way I can go crazy with Gardner Minshew is if he's the starting quarterback for the team and he wins games. Okay, I dove into Jimmy G because I believed in Jimmy G. I thought Jimmy G at this stage of his career would have been pretty good if he stayed healthy. I don't predict injuries. I'm not going to predict that Gardner Minshew is going to get hurt. I think you're an idiot if you do that. Even if guys have gotten hurt, you don't predict that guys are going to get injured. I thought Jimmy Garoppolo under Josh McDaniels would play reasonably well. I thought the ball would come out to Devontae, it would come out to Trey Tucker. They'd get Michael Mayer involved. They couldn't get anything going. So the Jimmy G thing was really disappointing to me. And okay, I think it's disappointing to everyone. A lot of people in the building get paid a lot more than me or sharper than me that thought that Jimmy Garoppolo would work, especially his teammates. And it didn't work. Now you got Gardner Minshew coming in, competing for the starting position with Aiden O'Connell. A lot of people are pulling for Aiden O'Connell. A lot of people think Gardner Minshew are going to get that job. That'll be part of our offseason. But I'm not going to do any of that today. I'm going to wait till the draft. And then in the draft, if Tom Telesco isn't able to get a quarterback in the first round, let me repeat, I'm not saying he has to. Who am I? You go get whoever you want. Go get a right tackle. Whoever's available, better start for the Raiders. Not be a developmental guy. We've had developmental guys here recently, such as Tyree Wilson, who was in the room last night, shook his hand. Great talent. Developmental player. You got to develop him as the seventh pick overall because he came off an injury. Okay. We're all in the camp of Tyree Wilson. We want him to do well. Cleveland Farrell was a developmental player. He was taken number 4 overall. Damon Arnette in the first round, a complete bust. Wasn't supposed to be developed. He was supposed to start as a corner. Garyon Connolly, other players in the past. No more developmental players in the first round. No more guys that are going to need a year or two in the first round other than, asterisks, other than a quarterback such as Michael Penix, Bo Nix, or J.J. McCarthy. Right? If Jaden Daniels gets picked in the first round, he's not going to start week one, but I would think at some point he'd start pretty easily and pretty early because he's a phenom. He's a phenom, and you got to get him on the field. So when it comes to the draft, that's what we're going to concentrate on. But Gardner Minshew is the player that's going to compete. Seems like he's got a big competitive edge in his DNA. He's the type of guy who's like, don't count me out. Go ahead, count me out. I'm going to get the job. And he has in Jacksonville, Indianapolis, Philadelphia. You put him in the game, and he wins games or at least demands respect. But he's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Justin Herbert. And unfortunately, we got to compete against those quarterbacks twice a year in the division. My big winner, considering no one wants to grade the Raiders on their flagship, I'll go. My biggest winner in free agency by far is the Houston Texans. I think the Houston Texans went from a bottom-of-the-barrel team to a Super Bowl contender next year. The Las Vegas Raiders are chasing the Houston Texans. I said it. It's a fact. We're chasing Kansas City in the division. We're chasing Houston because Houston brought in Joe Mixon. They got Dalton Schultz, the deal done. DeNico Autry. Can you believe who they got along the way? Daniil Hunter, the 2-year, $49 million deal. This Houston Texans team has C.J. Stroud already. They're loaded on defense via the draft. They spent a lot of money in the offseason, and they're already really good. So the Houston Texans are another team, oh my God, we got to deal with in the AFC. They're really good. They have a hell of a team, and C.J. Stroud is no longer a question mark. He could be a Pro Bowler next year with the ability of what he showed last year. So I love what the Houston Texans did. I think they were my big winner. I think Atlanta did well, obviously, for Kirk Cousins. I gave the Raiders a B grade, but I give the Houston Texans offseason an A. Not an A plus, an A. And that's another team. If you think the Raiders are going to be a wild card team because of Kansas City, I can promise you Houston's going to be a division winner or a wild card. That's a team we're going to have to keep an eye on. One more hour to go. We're going to replay the Max Crosby interview that got a big download from the Raiders coming up next hour. And hopefully hear from you on the other side on the flagship of the Silver and Black.